Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen Colbert!
Hey! I've got a table for two right over there. Have a seat. Gotta send it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And I'd like to start off tonight. I would like to wish everyone a happy Diwali. For those of you who do not know, it is the South Asian religious festival of lights that celebrates the victory of light over darkness, good over evil, knowledge over ignorance. Basically, Ted Lasso. We're still digesting the results of Tuesday's elections. The Democrats did not have a good night, but it was primarily two states where historically the party in the White House loses, and the Democrats narrowly held on to one of them, New Jersey. So disappointing, but a mixed bag. Or as cable news put it,
a five-alarm fire for Democrats.
Five-alarm fire.
No silver linings.
Major setbacks on Election Day.
The anatomy, really, of a Democratic meltdown, a complete and total meltdown.
You don't think you're part of the problem and you're a Democrat in power? You haven't looked in the mirror this morning.
And if you couldn't stop looking in the mirror this morning, you're Chuck Todd. The media... Good guy. Good guy. The media, who all live in Virginia and New Jersey, coincidentally, are freaking out so badly that NBC is launching a new Sunday show, Sedate the Press. And the media is not alone in overreacting. One former official compared Tuesday's losses to the last big off-year disaster for Democrats, saying, "This is 2009 all over again." Yes, back in 2009, Americans were all enjoying the old man in Up. And now we've elected that man president. Wait a second, we better check on him. No, don't go, Joe! Joe, maybe you'll pass infrastructure by the midterms! In response to their defeats, congressional Democrats have vowed to pass the Build Back Better plan, especially Senate Majority Whip and man failing to nay-nay, Dick Durbin. Durbin said of the poor showings in New Jersey and Virginia, "I think it's an accelerant. It's time for us to go to work." A little late for that, Dick. Okay, I know I got a bad midterm report card, so I'm really gonna buckle down and study. Starting tomorrow. First, gotta polish off all that Coors Light in the fridge and smoke a little bit of this. Does anyone have an accelerant? Now, one of the reasons Congress hasn't done more, or any, is continued opposition from moderates like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Democrats are getting sick of it. Take Arizona Representative and singing snowman Raul Grijalva. Congressman Grijalva complained that there is a code of silence around Manchin and Sinema, explaining, "We're mad at them, but we can't say anything because it might make them weirder." Weirder, really? Weirder than presiding over the U.S. Senate wearing Harley casual? Don't test me, progressive. I have sassy patches and I will iron them on. And the weirdness, it's good look. Sleeveless.
Patches.
Gun show. The weirdness has already started with Joe Manchin. Here's footage of him negotiating with Chuck Schumer today. point is... The point is the Democrats have to do something, and they are-ish. Last week, because of Manchin's opposition, Democrats took paid family leave out of the Build Back Better bill. But after what happened in Virginia, now the House has added a provision to provide 4 weeks of federally paid family and medical leave. Okay, that's something. It's not what anyone asked for, but it's better than nothing. Coincidentally, also the slogan of RC Cola. The election... The election wasn't all doom and gloom. On Tuesday, Detroit voted to decriminalize psychedelic mushrooms. Finally.
Look at that.
Finally.
Come on, now.
Detroit has solved its only problem. Starting now, in the Motor City, possession and use of magic mushrooms by adults is the city's lowest law enforcement priority. Not that it was a big law enforcement challenge before. It's pretty easy to arrest someone who spent the last 40 minutes in the cereal aisle weeping while looking at a box of Fruit Loops. They're all my children. You're all my children. Mushrooms have been gaining acceptance recently as doctors have found they can be used to treat a variety of psychological issues, including depression, much needed in Detroit. With this help, they may one day be able to watch the Lions play. I can't. Really? Really? There are that many Lions fans here tonight? Get some magic mushrooms, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, I can make that joke about the Detroit Lions because if you know me, you know I love sport. The smell of a new baseball mitt, the smell of the freshly cut grass, the smell of the popcorn, mostly the smells. And there's sport news about Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers seen here noticing a cloud that looks like a butt. This week, Rodgers tested positive for COVID. Okay, not a huge deal. Professional athletes test positive for a lot of things. But here's the kicker. Which is a football term. News broke that Rodgers is not vaccinated. Now, according to NFL rules, that means he has to miss Sunday's game and sit out the next 5 State Farm commercials. It's gonna be tough for Jake to carry the team without him. Got broad shoulders, though.
Yeah,
that's a red sweater.
Build it up.
This is a big deal because Rodgers has worked really hard to give the impression that he's vaccinated. Here's what he said right before the start of the season.
Are you vaccinated, and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized. You know, there's a lot of conversation around it, around the league, and a lot of guys who have made statements and have made statements, owners who made statements.
That's really vague. He better not talk that way in the huddle. Okay, bring it in. Next play is a run or maybe a pass. There have been a lot of conversations around it, and the coach has made statements in my helmet, but the main point is, let me breathe on you.
Oh, no.
Now, you may have noticed that Rodgers said he was immunized. That doesn't mean he was vaccinated. Turns out Rodgers pursued an alternative treatment and then petitioned the NFL to recognize him as vaccinated. The NFL refused because it was a homeopathic treatment from his personal doctor to raise his antibody levels. Uh-oh. My goop senses are tingling. I'm no expert, but I'm guessing it's a lot easier just to play football with a shot in your arm than a jade egg stuck where the sun don't shine. Then again, they are called the Packers.
Oh, my
football.
God.
Football players aren't the only ones testing positive. A new study has found that the majority of Iowa's white-tailed deer may already be infected with the coronavirus. How is that possible? I know for a fact that deer prefer outdoor dining. Now, no surprise, it appears the deer are getting sick from humans. That means Iowa hunters are killing these deer from less than 6 feet away. You know what? Screw this gun. I'm gonna strangle this bastard. Die! Die! You look in my eyes! You look in my eyes! I'm gonna chop your head off! Mount it on my wall! I really got into character there for a moment. I hope it didn't upset anybody. The real concern here is that the deer might transmit COVID back to humans, in which case the animals could become a reservoir for the virus. It's a nightmare scenario that's also the plot of Quentin Tarantino's new film, Reservoir Deer. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, meanwhile.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, folks, you know, if you watch the show, that I spent a lot of time right over there gathering the freshest, newsiest headline flowers, scouring the fields and forests for the most topical and fragrant sylvan news boughs, the jokiest festive gourds, and then carefully assembling and arranging them all into the grand yet tasteful state dinner-worthy centerpiece that is my nightly monologue. But sometimes, just sometimes now, sometimes I rubbed some lead paint chips onto my gums, stagger into the woods with nothing but a staple gun and some empty cans of spray paint, and then by the light of the tire fire, using smashed larvae and my own saliva as glue, cobble together a crude pile of punky wood and animal skulls to present to you the unhinged loner's cornucopia of news that is my segment. Meanwhile knows. Don't ask me, ask meanwhile. Meanwhile knows all, tells all. Meanwhile, Lady Gaga just became the first person ever to be on the cover of both British Vogue and Vogue Italia at the same time. That is impressive. That is really impressive, though I gotta say, it looks like she was very prepared for the first one. A little caught off guard by the second one. What? Another one? Quick, cut a hole in a bath mat. I'll make it work. She looks like she's going to a Halloween party dressed as a tongue. Someone left the grimace out in the sun. Meanwhile, Sex and the City fans rejoice because Carrie Bradshaw's apartment is going up for rent on Airbnb. Although I couldn't help but wonder, was this all just a transparent marketing ploy to wring the last dregs of cash from Sex and the City fans? I'm such a Miranda. I'm a Charlotte. For two nights only, lucky guests will enjoy the story department for just $23 a night, a nod to the show's 23-year history. It's also a celebration of how the writers of Sex and the City had no clue how much things cost in New York. She's a once-weekly local newspaper columnist. She couldn't live alone in a swanky apartment on the Upper East Side. She would have had six insane roommates in a below-ground studio in Sheepshead Bay and work nights at the Zabarro in Penn Station and has to shower in the kitchen sink. Visitors will get the full Sex and the City experience as Sarah Jessica Parker will virtually greet the visitors at check-in. Then they'll be treated to a styling session and a photo shoot. Not exactly my thing, but definitely better than the Game of Thrones Airbnb, which is an authentic burning castle complete with a personal greeting from Arya, who kills you and then wears your face. Meanwhile, potato watchers think they have found the world's largest potato. Okay, we've all heard that before. Jim, let's take a look. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, can someone please move that cursed homunculus out of the way? I'd like to see the potato. What? That's it? That's Spuds McCrazy. Where do they find this thing? The island of Dr. Potato? This is the farmer who found it. Colin Craig Brown, seen here, one assumes, breastfeeding the potato. He and his wife are farmers in New Zealand who say they were weeding their garden when his hoe struck something huge. So he scratched away a bit of the skin and tasted it. That's what I love about New Zealanders. It's their sense of adventure. They see this thing burst from their yard, and their first thought is, sweet ass, looks like a mummified chimpanzee ass. Better give it a lick. Meanwhile, the best cheese in the world has been named. The cheese is called Olavidia, and according to one of the judges, the cheese stole my heart. It's like nothing I've seen before. It had an incredibly rich, unctuous, creamy texture. It was pillowy, warm, and comforting. And the flavor was rich, round, and long. I just wanted to go to bed with it. I don't know if we've found the world's best cheese, but we have found the world's loneliest judge. This cheese... This cheese just gets me. It listens. We're both laying on crackers, and neither one of us wants kids. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go bang this cheese. Meanwhile, IKEA has made sound-absorbing curtains to broker peace between noisy roommates. Perfect if your roommate's with that horny cheese freak.
Coming up, Billy Porter.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Children, honey, gotta let the children know what time it is.
It's so lovely to see you
It's
again.
Good to see you, too.
Before we get started, there's so much to talk about.
Yes.
First, I want to ask you about this. You recently, you made some comments about Harry Styles' Vogue cover. and just very quickly, if you can explain to the audience what happened.
Okay.
What you said and what you like to say
apparently I'm famous now. And it was a slow news day. So the first thing I want to say is, Harry Styles, I apologize to you for having your name in my mouth. It's not about you. The conversation is not about you.
Now,
right?
For the people who don't know, Harry Styles was the first man to appear on the,
cover of Vogue. In a dress.
Right.
And so the conversation is actually deeper than that. It is about the systems of oppression and erasure of people of color who contribute to the culture. Now, that's a lot to unpack. I'm willing to unpack it. Sans the dragging and cancel culture of the internet, because I do not now, nor will I ever, adjudicate my life in sound or humanity in sound bites on social media. So when you're ready to have the real conversation, call a bitch. Okay? I'm ready to have it.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sorry, Harry. I didn't mean no harm. I'm a gay man. We like Harry. He's cute.
Are you surprised that this comment blew up the way it did?
I am surprised because there are so many other things that are important on this earth to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird.
Well, let's do it then.
Yes, let's talk about it.
The most important thing I want to talk to you about is thank you for sending me shoes.
Yes!
Okay, this midsummer, you sent me, you're designing for Jimmy Choo,
yes,
right now?
Yes, I have a capsule collection with Jimmy Choo. It's genderless. Any size for any shoe, and all the proceeds go to the Trevor Project. And, yes.
Well, I was thrilled to get it. I said, well, you got a present from Billy Porter. I'm like, what could it be? And I open it up, and there's these absolutely beautiful shoes that they're loafers with tassels.
Yes.
And is it like a zebra print
or
a leopard?
A brown zebra print.
Zebra print. And I went, I'm going to wear these. Hand to God, I'm going to wear these to Obama's 60th birthday party.
And I was like,
I'm going to wear like a nice, you know, a Xenia, you know, tan suit, dark shirt, and then these zebra print shoes. I got uninvited. The headline is, I got uninvited to Obama's party, which is fine, because if I had come in your shoes, no one would have been looking at
Beyonce. Paying attention, right.
They wouldn't
paying attention to Obama.
But I did take a photo and send it to you, because I did want to wear them. So this is what I was doing the night I should have been at that party. This is me.
Oh, I love that you like my shoes.
Yay!
I love it.
They're good looking. Where do I wear them? Do you have a recommendation of where I wear these shoes?
Wear them every day, all day. It doesn't have to be a special occasion.
Okay.
Wear whatever you want, whenever you want to wear them.
I'm not as special as you are. I actually need special occasions. Everywhere you go ends up feeling a little bit special. Now, you've written a new memoir.
Yes.
All right.
I wrote a whole book, y'all.
It's called Unprotected, and it really tells the story of what it took to become the Billy Porter that we all know today.
Yes.
You delve into some difficult topics, and how does it feel to share your story with the world?
You know, it's been very healing. The journey has been very healing. You know, most of it was written in COVID, mm-hmm. And I discovered how to heal trauma. You know, the book is called Unprotected, and it's about healing my trauma through the power of art. And my hope is that my story and my journey will free somebody else and set somebody else free, because it set me free.
We were having a conversation about this. We were having a conversation about this before the show. What inspires you artistically?
The truth. Authenticity and the truth. Tell the truth. Speak truth to all power, all the time. That's what we get to do as artists. Mm-hmm. We get to do that in a way that's not didactic, that's not sort of, you know, I'm not a politician, right? We're not politicians, so we can actually tell the truth.
I would like to vote for you someday, though.
Yeah,
Billy Porter.
I cuss too much.
You write about your HIV status in here, and I know that must be very meaningful to many people to hear you talk about that publicly. What does it mean to you to talk about?
You know, there was a shame that was pervasive in my life for the entirety of my life. The 2007 diagnosis was just another layer of shame. And so after 14 years, to speak that was to, once again, I'll say it again, set myself free of the shame, because shame is a silencer and silence is a murderer. Shame is a murderer. I was dying a very slow death, and I have too much work to do for that. So I had to let it go. I had to let it go, y'all.
Well, you have an inspiring level of joy and energy and zest for life. What is your source of that joy? What is the work you do to maintain that?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of it has been recent, you know, just in terms of, like, you know, having time. You know, I've been saying COVID came and shut down the world so that I could heal. Like, I've been in trauma therapy. I've been facing old stuff. I've been, like, excavating the demons. And, like, you know, I'm feeling really, like, real joy for the first time in my life. And I'm feeling real healing for the first time in my life. And it's powerful. It's really, really powerful. And I just want to be able to share that, you know, with the world. And I hope that the book, you know, does that.
We have to take a little bit of a break, but please don't go away. When we come back, I'll ask Billy how Kinky Boots transformed his career.
J. Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the author of the new memoir, Unprotected, Billy Porter. Annalee Ashford is also our guest tonight.
Yes,
you guys were Pinky Boots together.
Yes, we were.
And I think I have a shot of the two of you. There you go. There you are, and Annalee there in the middle,
yeah,
right there. And it was a big break for you.
Yes, it was.
And you got your Tony for this. And do you remember the moment when you got that role? Like, what was that moment like? What did that mean to you?
You know, it was an affirmation of the decades that, you know, I was told that my queerness would be my liability.
And that you should hide it.
Yes, and it was for decades. And then Kinky Boots happened, and it wasn't. So it was an affirmation, and hopefully it'll be an affirmation to all of you that your authenticity is the only option one has for survival on this planet.
Hard to remember sometimes.
It's hard to remember.
It's hard to remember sometimes.
It's hard to remember.
Because people don't always want you to be you. They want you to be whatever they need.
Absolutely. And, you know, we get the oppression from, you know, it's government sanctioned. It's religious sanctioned. You know, all you hear is, no, you're not okay. You're not enough. You're wrong. Something's wrong with you. You need to be fixed. It's a messaging that I received from the time I could comprehend thought. Right? Love yourself enough to not need validation from the outside from anybody. Validate yourself, speak life into yourself, and go on out and change the world.
It is no secret that you are a fashion icon.
Thank you.
People love to see what you're going to wear. Let's talk about what has authentically happened to fashion during COVID, because there's been a time of a lot of reexamination
yes.
of people's priorities, and there's been a lot of just sweatpants
yes.
and tank tops
and
going
Zoom
on.
Calls from the top up.
Exactly.
Is
fashion going to be the same when this is over?
Fashion is going to come back, and it's going to morph and be whatever it is.
Can sweatpants be
that
fashion?
It's supposed to be. Listen, athleisure is fashion. It's fashion. The kids love it.
Fashleisure.
Athleisure is, you know, I'm not going to spend $8,000 on a sweatsuit, but some people do.
Or maybe if someone just wants to send you one.
Somebody wants to send me one, I'll wear it every day.
Coming up, Annalee Ashford. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Nice to have you on.
So grateful to be here. There's an audience with people.
I know, isn't it lovely? Have you not been in front of an audience?
Not like this, and I'm gonna get a little teary-eyed. This is a
sure.
big deal.
Sure, you're on a Broadway stage again.
I know, full-out tears, getting choked up. This is a real thing. Oh my
now,
God.
Is it all because in any way, shape, or form because your Billy Porter, your co-star from Kinky Boots, is here? Did you guys have a reunion?
We had a reunion. I got to go to church in his dressing room. I called it the Church of Billy Porter.
He's always preaching.
I mean, nothing better. I said just now, I was like, can we put every appearance he's ever ever had in a podcast, and you can just listen to it while you're walking, and you can feel better about life and just be better at being a human.
Sure, nobody's stopping you.
Right, Billy Potter podcast. There you go.
Now, the last year and a half, the really hit the community of theater, you know, especially New York community theater, really hard. You attended the Tony Awards. I think I've got a photo right here. Ran into your friend there, Jake Gyllenhaal. What was it like to be there at the Tony Awards this year, where y'all are celebrating theater when there was so little theater that was able to go on in the past year? I mean, it's bittersweet in some ways, I imagine.
So bittersweet, and you know, even when I walked into tonight, there's all of these beautiful theaters. They're old, they're majestic, they're historic, and they have a certain smell, they have a certain spirit. Like tonight I walked in and I smelled the radiator and it made me feel the feels, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, and I walked in that theater and they took place this year at the Winter Garden, and I was totally overwhelmed by the incredible spirit of this community of Broadway actors and theater workers and crew and everybody who's just kind of made it through. You know, a lot of us have gotten to go back to work in some shape or another, but people who do theater haven't. So we're back now.
Yeah, it really is. The lifeblood feeds into all the rest of entertainment in the United States. Yes. Now, you were both part of the CBS family.
Yes.
Your show, Be Positive, is in its second season now. But this year, by the way, what an extraordinary cast. Like, just looking at that clip right there, my God, Hector Elizondo, Ben Vereen, Jane Seymour, Linda Lavin, you. I mean, do you ever just look around and go, like, I can't believe I'm sharing a soundstage with these people?
All the time. The fact that they're in my phone makes me feel so cool.
That's great. Do you make up names for famous people? Because I put fake names in for people just in case, you know, somebody gets my phone. I don't want them to know that I have X, Y, or Z's number.
I really should do that. I usually put what thing I've done with them, but like, so like Linda Lavin is like, Linda Lavin, be positive. Which for that show, it's great. It's just like,
sure.
Be positive all the time.
Without giving anything away, I'll just give an example. Conan O'Brien is in my phone as Pale Male. Now I have to change it.
Amazing.
Now I have to change it. This year, we have a clip here because the opening credits are a little bit different this year. It got Broadway'd up a little bit. Jim?
The more you give,
the more you give.
Are you always lovely? It's a very positive way to begin the show. Are you always kind of hoping that you go, oh, maybe we could just put a little singing and dancing in this one? Was that your idea?
It was Chuck Lorre's idea. And I said, okay, I'd love to. But I did say, can we find some synchronized swimmers who happen to be senior citizens? And we did. We found a group.
Wow.
Yeah, they're called the Aquadettes. They're from 60 to 90. And
are they in your phone now, too, the Aquadettes?
Oh, my God, yes, yes. It's like Fern, Aquadette, Be Positive. You know, there's lots of labels. But, yes, they were incredible, so good at swimming. And then we had all of these incredible dancers in L.A. who they are my elders as well, and they were amazing at tap dancing with walkers. It was a really good time.
Now, we had on, not long ago, actually at the end of the summer, we had the great Stephen Sondheim on. And as I was showing you and Jake, Gyllenhaal did Sunny in the Park with George in 2017, a brilliant performance, a brilliant production. And when I had Steve on, I reiterated to him how important putting it together was to me, the song from Sunny in the Park. And I'm curious, as somebody who's been in the show and played Dodd and knows the show intimately, do you have a favorite part of that extraordinary musical?
I have many favorite parts, but my most favorite is the intro into the song Children in Art. When Marie says, there are only two worthwhile things to leave behind when you depart this world, children and art. And
yeah.
That, I think, sort of says it all.
What? I'll ask you what I asked Billy, which is something we were talking about before the show. What inspires you artistically?
What inspires me artistically is the possibility of a story changing somebody. like putting it together, did you? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people ask you, oh, when did you know you wanted to do this crazy thing that you do? Mm-hmm. And I remember being a little person, knowing that stories made me feel good, they made me feel different, but more than that, they taught me something. They taught me how to be a better person. And I'm always struck at the capacity that a story has to change us and make us feel better. And I think Sunday in the Park with George is one of the great pieces of art that just continues to evolve and what it teaches you throughout your life. There's a chord structure in the show mm-hmm. that doesn't resolve. You know, it's in minor, it goes da-na, da-na, and then in Move On, in the last song, you guys all have to go out there and get this album. You don't know what I'm talking about. It resolves. So I guess the lesson there is there's always a resolve.
Well, my favorite line from Children in Art, and I would apply this to you as an artist or Billy or anyone out there, is that the favorite line is the children are sweet and the girls are so rapturous. Isn't it lovely how artists can capture us? And it was lovely you could be here. Thank you so much, Annalee.
Thank you.
This has been the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.